Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards?
Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everyone. Hello, world. Welcome to this special edition podcast. Some of you might be listening to it through your ears on the podcast app, Orthodox, I like to call that, or some of you might be viewing it on YouTube.
Ooh. Yeah.
We've moved up to level 2.
Of 11?
Yeah. Plenty more levels to go. You might be listening to it in the Isle of Wight. We have big listeners there, mate.
And we're big there. Luxembourg. I
mean, well, you know why Isle of Wight? Because it's Shanklin. There's a city called Shanklin there.
Is there?
Yeah. Is there a city called Flatman anywhere?
No, there isn't. Luxembourg, big. We're big there. They're landlocked. There's literally nothing else to do except breed and listen to us. Things are going well. Where are we?
We are in Studio G. So thank you to Gennaro at head office for allowing us to use this studio. It's the way forward, mate.
G4.
You know what?
Gangster.
Yes.
Gorgeous. Probably G for Gennaro, probably.
Glass.
G for Glacier.
G for green. You come to the Studio G, you can stream events, it's hybrid events, it's the way forward, you can do demonstrations. We've got technicians on site, sound engineers, everything, social media content, the lot. Yeah. And this is out and available for hire. So, you know, if you want to do anything, come down here, record. We're adapting, mate, like the world.
We're adapt and overcome. And there is also oat milk in the kitchen downstairs. So when I got offered a coffee, do you want normal milk or oat? I didn't want oat milk, but I wanted to say oat because I'm from Bath and I like to think I'm sort of, I don't know how best to put it without alienating people, but better than other people.
Well, you know why there's oat milk? Because MD, Bubs, is dairy intolerant.
Yeah, he looks like someone who's dairy intolerant but only eats dairy.
Wheat intolerant, everything, mate.
Oh, by the way.
Exercise intolerant.
Before we move on, I had dinner with a couple of mates last night at a great distance and got blimmin' lashed on the red with Mike Toft and with John McCarthy, good fellas. And
if I could see your teeth a bit
stained. Yeah, exactly. They were loving Mike Bubbin's podcast, Socially Distant Podcast.
Yes.
Oh, it's brilliant. And then it occurred to me about 10 minutes after we started talking about it that they thought that Mike Bubbins was Bubs.
No.
And they assumed, and I said, no. Bubs is Pete Leckie from Gennaro and he's got nothing like the sense of humour that the actual Mike Bubbins has got. They're both big fellas. One's out of shape, one isn't. One's funny, one isn't.
I would say they're both out of shape.
I thought Big Bubs looked all right. He looked strong.
Wearing black, wasn't he?
He says he can still do a pec dance.
He's got a compression top underneath.
Yeah. He's wearing skins. So this is an incredibly special show for the reasons Shanko has previously outlined, but also coming up, we're chatting to Wales and Cardiff Blues elite operator Ellis Jenkins primarily about being the second fittest person in his house, and there are only two people there. And we think we've done a bit of a coup, bit of a result. We've got the Gloucester Rugby CEO Lance Bradley coming on. Lots of pods wanted him, not lots of pods got him. Loads going on at Gloucester at the moment with, you know, Ackerman leaving, Humphreys leaving, Skivington coming in, London Irish kicking off, pay cuts across the league, COVID, clubs thinking about, are they going to fold? Are they going to make it? So lots of fascinating stuff there. And we've also got, which wasn't my idea, we've got a rowing challenge, which I think is a bad idea, and it was Shanks's idea. Look, for the listeners out there who aren't viewing us on YouTube, Shanks has done what I knew he would and put a picture up of me, which was 2 years after I retired. I hadn't done any training at all, and it's a bad picture. He's posted it online before.
Well, I think you're in better shape there than you are now, because trying to keep 2 metres away from you is quite difficult at the
moment. No, up yours. You put that on Twitter, and Ellis Genge responded saying, I'm shocked, I don't know what to say.
Well, you love your fitness, you love your cardio. I know it's not a rower, but it's something you're passionate about. I know you're going through a big training block at the moment, and it's the only exercise picture I could find.
Anyway, Shanks has been doing loads of rowing in his garden on the Concept 2, so he wants to do a rowing challenge. So let's go on the squat rack, that's what I say. But no, there isn't one here conveniently. So we're going to go rowing in our jeans at some point, but we're only going to do 15
seconds. Rowing
in
civilian clothes, I want to call it. Just to show that keeping fit, you don't have to put on a Lycra pair of shorts or a pair of shorts or a vest. Okay. You know, you can do it in your everyday clothes.
And you do have to buy a 15.
Also, we're not going to row like for 5-10 minutes. It's going to be short, sharp.
15 seconds.
And I know how good you are at like 30 seconds, a minute, at everything. And then fatigue kicks in.
Yeah.
Walking.
So, yeah, walking. Chewing.
Breathing.
Chewing, breathing. I say let's do proper explosivity-ness and let's do a 15-second challenge.
I think you're going to break the machine. I think it has to be a minute and a half. 90
no
seconds.
No way. That is too much.
I've got a heart rate monitor just in case things don't go well and your heart starts popping out your chest. You know, right. So we can monitor you. There's the defibrillator close by.
Right. I'm not going to do 90 seconds, okay? Because it's like Usain Bolt is only that quick. He explodes. Okay, that's what I do. I used to be explosive on a rowing machine 8 years ago. I am not explosive on a rowing machine now. I'm wearing jeans. Oh. Do you want to kill me?
I like this.
Do you want me to die?
Play the underdog.
At Gennaro
HQ.
That's
what Wales are so good at. The underdog. It's not like you being English, though.
Right, well, let's decide this, because I say 15 seconds is where we go.
Hey, you're gonna break the machine. You'll break the machine.
I won't. I haven't got the power anymore. I'm 40 and I don't row. Right, how long do you want to do? I'm not doing 90 seconds.
All right,
no way. Do 30 seconds. Let's do it. Because it's more approachable for everyone, that. A minute's too much, mate. A minute is endurance. It's not. A minute's endurance.
It's not endurance.
It is. That's longer than a 400 metre run.
All right, we'll do paper, scissors, stone. 30 seconds.
Or a minute. Right, so it's 1, 2, 3, reveal.
Okay.
And it's 1, 2, 3, reveal, and it's best of one.
Yeah.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, reveal. I win 30 seconds. I scissored it. He papered it. We are doing 30 seconds. By the way,
reverse psychology there.
30-second test on a rower is minging if you go hard enough.
30 seconds?
Minging, mate.
2K's minging.
Yeah, I mean, a minute's minging. It's roughly twice as...
It doesn't matter anyway. Whatever time we get, Lee Byrne will post something on Instagram and smash it.
Yeah, but we got mates and a life, which is what separates us from Lee Byrne.
Anyway, mate, how have you been? What have you been up to?
Yeah, very well. I've been basically grilling and chilling and been cooking quite a lot. On that subject, we've got a nice little thing coming up. Field and Flower, you guys will have heard us mention them before. What they do is just locally sourced meat, put it in a nice...
Organic, grass-fed.
Yeah, organic, grass-fed. It's top-of-the-range stuff. Meat, fish, dairy, all that kind of stuff. There's a deli section as well. They just send wicked gear, and we've been talking about it for years, and they've now... So I was using, and Shanks using these guys way before we kind of knew the guys that ran it. And they said, how about we put a Flats and Shanks barbecue box together for the summer?
Yeah.
So they've done that. And if you're watching, there's an image of it. If you're not watching, you can just go on Tinterweb and see it.
Well, we'll tell you what's in there. There's some sausages, there's some burgers, there's a big fillet of salmon, sustainable salmon.
A whole side of salmon, yeah.
There are short ribs as well. And if you're watching this, it doesn't come with chilies or a tomato or... a little bit of mushroom, just pure meat. And that is £44.41. But you've got to put in your discount code, a 10% discount code. What is the code, David?
The code is Flatman10.
You what?
You heard, in capitals, I think. Flatman10, the number 10, at checkout, and you get 10% off that, which is nice.
Never want to put my name in, do they?
No, they don't.
And I think they've missed off a zero. I think it should have been Flatman 100, because I think it's a spelling error, because obviously I scored 100 points for Wales. That's the only thing I can think of.
I think it's 10 because Flatman 10, because that's how many caps I could have had.
Should have had
if I didn't have so many awful injuries. I probably would have been captain.
If only you were better.
When Clive said he wanted to make me captain for the All Blacks test and I got injured. But the burgers, everyone knows how to cook burgers. I like a little top tip for me is put the lid down or put a little dome over the top of them. The short ribs, they're the sort of thing that if you're put off buying this box because of short ribs, don't be. They're the easiest thing in the world to cook. So rub them or don't rub them. Put a bit of salt and pepper on them. Stick them in at 110 and leave them all day. Leave them for 7 hours, 8 hours, and they are absolutely mega. They're a piece of cake to cook. Side of salmon.
Lovely and moist, aren't they?
Yeah, lovely. You can't muck up a side of salmon, and you look like a legend when you bring it out. It's one of those things that makes you look like a great chef, even if you don't need to be. In sausages, well, you know what they do, okay? Just stick them in your ear. So that'd be good. But yeah, been cooking a bit.
Yeah.
I actually saw my family for the first time, my parents, first time since Lockie D.
Well, this is something I had a go at the other day. Now, this is a cote de boeuf. Have I said that right?
You have, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just say it quick if I don't get it.
Yeah.
So I cooked this on a little barbecue and rubbed it in soy sauce, a bit of Worcester sauce, salt, pepper, garlic, lemon, juice, the lot, but got it really hot. That's like a little charcoal.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, you can't see it. It's a really nice picture of beef. If you're watching it...
We will put it up on Twitter. Yeah. Don't worry about that. But that was delicious. What have you been cooking?
I went back to see Mum and Dad for the first time since Lockie D. And Mum said, Dad's going to do a barbecue.
Yeah.
And I said, great. You know, everyone likes a barbecue. But I never do normal barbecues. You know, sausages and a couple of chicken thighs. I never do those. I'm always trying to do something fancy, which is probably more than I need to be doing. So,
like a duck on a spit roast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's rotisserie duck. So, I got there and my mum had a massive tons of everything, but she also had four aged beef tomahawk steaks.
Well, I thought you chopped the kids up.
And she said, my mum said, well, because my brothers-in-law were there as well. She said, these are for the men. I was like, oh, I don't know if you can say that anymore, Mum. And she said, said to the girls, any of you want them? And they said, no, exactly. So it kind of worked out. Turns out my mum is a misogynist. But amazing. So did a barbie with my dad. And my dad, I think, was like, because I'm barbecuing all the time, my dad probably, he wanted me to help, but he wanted me to be involved, but he didn't want to ask. It's like a busman's holiday.
Yeah.
And he said, do you fancy giving me a hand with a barbie? No worries, you can go and chill out or whatever. And I said, no, I'll give you a hand, mate. Great. Well, I set up this grill. We've got a table in between us for social distancing. These are your utensils. And he was obviously hoping I would come and sort of do it together. He had beers ready, all sorts of stuff. So it was nice. But yeah, those tomahawks, aged beef tomahawks, they were lush, boy. Absolutely lush.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? You don't want to take over someone's barbecue.
No.
It's a macho thing, I always think.
No, but it's nice. I got stuck in with the old man. It's nice. But also on the...
How is he? How is Graham?
The Hammer?
Yeah.
He's good. He's in good nick. He's my dad, for all of you listeners/viewers out there, my dad is a psychologist. I know. What happened to you? What went wrong with you? I know. I've heard those.
That's why I never come around your house, mate.
Psychologist. Yeah, because he'll take you.
Oh, mate.
He'll take you. You'd struggle with
I'd
my
have
dad.
To start from bloody foundations again.
Yeah. He would tear you apart. It'd be the worst hour of your life. You'd leave a shell of a man. But he's...
I'd be in a room with Cracker.
It's a bit like that. He looks a bit like Robbie Coltrane, my dad. And he's in good nick, and he basically what he does is assesses kids and families and that sort of stuff. But you can't in because social distancing.
Yeah.
But he's been doing basically working 7 days a week on Zoom. So my dad is like a complete technophobe. He can't. He's never listened to one of our podcasts. He drives about 40,000 miles a year. He's the ideal customer for us, the listener. Yeah. He doesn't know how to do it.
No?
He still doesn't know. He's chuffed a bits we've got a podcast, but he said, I still haven't seen one of your podcasts. But as it happens, this is the first one you could actually watch.
Yeah.
He don't know how to work it, but he's worked out how to use Zoom. He's a master of Zoom. So he is still helping kids.
Mm. For 40 minutes. Then they go.
Yeah, correct. Are you still working out a lot?
Trying.
Because you've been a bit smug about your home gym.
I've been trying to work out. I have. I mean, because I've got a little converted garage, I've had a couple of doors put on and I built like a squat rack. I wrote a squat rack into me ages to build. It was a nightmare. It was like 100 screws. So yeah, I am. Cardio's gone out the window.
Yeah.
But good. Certainly like bench, prone pull, upright row.
Yeah.
Loads of arms. But no matter how many arms I do, I never get a vein on my bicep.
Yeah.
I'm after that sort of Sam Warburton vein.
Yeah.
Can't get it.
Nah, you either got it, you haven't.
Can't get it.
Give up, just be happy with being strong.
There's like veins elsewhere where I don't want them, like my forearms.
Yeah.
But
No, it's tough. It's been
What
tough
about you? Have you been working out?
I've had
You look like you do. You're looking buff. I don't know whether you've just done a couple of press ups outside the office before you come in because you knew there was a couple of girls working here. And
I'm into that stuff. Yeah. I'll give myself a week off training.
Just you need it sometimes.
I'm going to rest week.
Yeah.
I've basically been doing way too little. I've done some long walks, which don't count. I've done some short walks, which definitely don't count. And I've done some bench squats and deadlifts in my back garden.
That's all you need. I reckon that's all you need.
But I got to the point where, because of, I guess it's old injuries or age or whatever, I don't go too hard on the bench. Like I was doing, I did five sets of three at 150 last week. And felt quite heavy actually,
light. Yeah.
Yeah, but I weigh 125, 130, so it's not that impressive. But for the week afterwards, my elbows are agony.
You're talking pounds or kilos?
Pounds. But my elbows are absolutely agony. I'm wearing sleeves, I don't know what to do. So I'm thinking about an aggressive, sophisticated course of anabolic steroids. I'm not, it's a joke.
Start with growth first.
Yeah, I'll start on the growth.
Yeah.
I don't like, you know, as a rugby player, you get all your supplements sponsored. Can someone like sponsor me like a really aggressive course of steroids to make me a bodybuilder without doing any work?
Grenade. Have you tried them?
No, what are they?
You know, it comes in like fat burning pills.
Grenade. Are they going to work for me? It's my diet that's the problem and the fact that I'm not actually doing any training.
I spoke to Gethin Jenkins about sort of fat burning pills. He said he's tried everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Nothing works.
Yeah, he had a
Keep
shot at me. And he got 140 caps, poor bloke.
Long distance running. That's what helps.
Yeah, I know.
But Med, hopefully the gyms will open soon.
I think it's
like working from home, I always think. Like, you can do it, you can get by,
yeah.
But nothing beats going to the office to work, where you're far more productive.
I wonder if I had a gym like Lord Mike Tyndall at home. He's got a gym that is like, if you go to like Shoreditch House or like White City House in London and you see their gym, reduce it in size a bit, and that is basically Tyndall's gym. He's got the best home gym in the
Personalized
world.
Personalised dumbbells, got Mike Tyndall on, it's got World Cup.
World Cup 2003 on his dumbbells. I mean,
I saw a photo of him the other day, actually. I think he was either on the bike or he was playing golf, and his calves looked terrible, mate.
Ah.
Really bad. Like, I had to reply to him, I thought your calves would be bigger, mate.
I did say to Tins once, I said, Tins, you've got the calves of a dog. And the calves are what separate the men from the boys.
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's World Cup winners' medals. And he might be right.
Johnny Drama would disagree, mate.
The problem I've got is that if I had an amazing home gym, maybe I would use it more. But I've got loads of weights, tons of weights, bars, benches, and all I want to do is go to a gym. I'm used to getting up and going somewhere to work out.
But also, like you say, you're on a rest, but you're injured as well. I know that because you've been for a pedicure on your feet.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's.
I've had
you take
a proper
care
job.
Of your feet.
I had a proper job done on my feet, I haven't had any nail varnish put on because my girls like to do that, as you know. So they wouldn't let me put any colour on. But I've had my feet made soft and beautiful.
That's where it started for Eddie Izzard, apparently.
Fine with that.
Started doing his
nails.
I've got
a moisture treatment on my feet as we speak, actually. So it's not going to help me grip on the rower, but getting it in early. But it feels good because I'm going to Devon next week and I've got my summer feet done.
It'd help you walk across the African plains, wouldn't it, if you lost your shoes?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, correct.
It'd be perfect.
I'm waiting for gyms to open. Chris Hoy's been quite aggressive quite forthright on social media, saying, how come you go to the pub but you can't go to the gym? And he's, I don't get it at all. Why can't you? Why can't they give us all a face mask, sure, or a pair of gloves when you walk in?
I suppose, though, with the gym, though, you're not cleaning the equipment straight after using it. Whilst if you go to a pub, you have a glass, don't you? Once that glass is finished, it's washed, you get a clean one.
Tables and bars and door handles and
but
it'll be everywhere.
There's more equipment in the gym that you would lose. Machines, bikes, rowers, barbells, the lot.
Yeah, I'm just bitter about it.
Yeah, no, I'm the same with you, mate. I'm the same with you.
I want Fatness First in Bath to reopen so I can go there and do nothing instead of going to my back garden and do nothing. But, you know, you get a nice little podcast on, you get your headphones on, you look the business because I've got like a hoodie that I wear, like a Nike hoodie with short sleeves.
What, in the gym? Oh.
Yeah, so it's a short sleeve hoodie.
It's
so
like
you look
out of Three Men and a Baby, that.
Yeah, you're like, but you look like, you're almost like, if you wore the MC Hammer trousers with it, you look like a pro bodybuilder. So people look at it and think, he must be serious under there.
You'd
so like, I don't take
you'd
it
You'd be
off.
Like Tom Selleck out of Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, oh, I retweeted this thing from Magnum earlier. I don't know if you saw it, but it's a 35-second clip from Magnum PI in the 80s. It is hilarious. Have a look on Twitter for it. It is absolutely the worst TV you've ever seen. It's great.
I mean, I've been watching some terrible TV and some real good TV. series I've done recently. Cardinal.
On
you
it.
Into that?
Just thought I'm two eps in.
Yeah, Sonny McLaughlin put me into that. Series three I'm on.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Yeah. He's a brilliant actor.
Yeah.
So is she, actually. Giri Haji.
Oh.
Or should I say Giri/Haji? That's on Netflix. BBC. Kelly MacDonald is in it, along with a lot of Japanese.
I love Kelly MacDonald. I think she's great.
Actor. Duty Shame, it means, apparently. But it's really well filmed.
Oh, it's so cool. My friend Jane put me onto that, and she's like, this is the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's like... it's like gangsters going at each other in Tokyo, and someone gets killed in London, and a policeman has to go to London to find out who killed him and stop this gang war going on. But it is really good.
It's brilliant. It's brilliantly done.
Sinner
as well.
Series 3 has started.
Yeah, I'm not
saving
on it yet.
That for jury duty next week. I reckon there'll be a lot of downtime.
Okay, is it going to be, because Series 1 was like amazing and dark. Series 2 underwhelmed a bit for me.
Yeah. But when you make something that good, it's always difficult to follow it up with something massive.
The main actress in that, I've completely forgotten her name now, she's married to Justin Timberlake, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
And her name is...
Yeah. Anyone help us? Anyone
and
know?
We don't want to be inappropriate, but they are such a beautiful couple that you could almost just get a nosebleed about it.
I can't. Well, I'll think of her name in a minute. It's locked away in the head somewhere.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's coming out on Apple TV. I think you can join Apple TV and like have a free week with it.
Or
Apple Plus, whatever it's called, Greyhound, right? It's a Tom Hanks film. It's a true story about Tom Hanks as a captain of a ship. He's a convoy of like 50.
Tom Hanks is captain of a ship again, like Captain Phillips. Yeah. And there's another one, isn't there?
During the Second World War.
Yeah.
Leading a convoy of ships to help with the Allied forces in the Second World War. True story.
Awesome.
Good. Yeah, that's a film coming out, so I really want to watch that.
I'm in for that.
Salisbury Poisonings.
Brilliant.
Have you done that?
Brilliant telly.
How good was she then?
She was a
legend.
I
can't even say her name.
No, let's not. She's amazing.
Yep.
The acting was amazing. The real life character was amazing. That is a quality show.
And it's brilliant as well because you actually see the characters at the end as well.
Love that.
Yeah, but three episodes out. It was brilliant. I watched on Sky Documentaries Marathon Patriot Day's bombing. So that's about the Boston Marathon bombing that went on in 2013.
What really was that on Netflix?
Good. No, that's on Sky Documentaries.
Okay, it was good.
Yeah, sad.
Yeah.
But good because it gives you, it tells you about. Obviously, the suspects they have, how they catch them, and also about the lives that affected as well. You know, people losing limbs and having to cope with artificial legs and losing hands,
brutal.
And eyes and everything. Yeah, so it is brutal. What have you been?
You got to watch this.
Yeah,
stuff.
You do.
You've got to watch it. Murder in the Outback. I watched this. You know, the two titles of the things I've watched in the last week or two are reasonably similar. Murder in the Outback.
Yeah.
Is it Dean Falconia or Peter Falconia?
Yeah.
I thought that was really, really good. That was gripping.
I think I'm rubbing off on you a bit now, aren't I?
Why?
Well, murder.
Yeah, you are, yeah. And the second one I've watched is Murder in the Car Park. So a Murder in the Outback, a Murder in the Car Park. Murder in the Car Park was about this murder in 1987. Daniel Morgan, a private investigator, murdered in South London, Sydenham, I think, in 1987.
Yeah.
And there's a podcast, Daniel Morgan Murder, which we spoke about years ago on this pod. Peter Jukes did that, and it was a really good podcast.
Yeah,
and this ultimately doesn't tell you a huge amount that the podcast doesn't, but it's really well done. It's a fascinating story, and it's just unbelievably infuriating. And you've got Sid Fillery, there's all these guys that it's basically implied that there was a huge amount of corruption, and they're like, no, there wasn't. Prove it. And they have come to do the documentary. They're not hiding.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, Jonathan Rhys and Sid Fillery say, we got nothing to hide. And they're bullish. Jonathan Rhys in particular is bullish. And you're like, God, this is, you know, and he's ripping into Daniel Morgan's family for continually going after answers. And you kind of think, you know, this is serious business. And it was found that the independent inquiry found that there was corruption at the beginning of the corruption was a worry at the factor at the beginning of the investigation. And this guy is killed in a horrible way in a car park a long time ago, 37 years ago. But it is a really good, I think it was a three-parter, I think. But
well, I watched Murder in the Outback, and that was good.
It was good, Chelly, yeah.
Yeah, although I did think, what was the lady's name in it?
I can never remember.
She was a lot like Rebecca Knox. You automatically thought she did it because there was no real emotion there.
Yeah.
She couldn't quite remember what went on. Very loose. Story
circumstances
changed all the time.
Seemed convenient or inconvenient. Yeah.
But she didn't do it, apparently.
But Again, very good telly.
Yeah, hopefully we haven't spoiled it for you.
Cardinal, there's a lot of series of that, so I'm up for that. And Sinner Series 3, I'm excited about that. Series 1, my mum said, should I watch Sinner Series 1 to me last week on the phone? And I said, Mum, I'm going to say no. It's so dark, I think you won't like it. Mm. And my dad, even though his job takes him to some pretty unpleasant places, children who need help and that kind of stuff, my dad can't cope with that sort of stuff either. So it's like, I think you're better off, Dad, leaving that alone, our kid.
Yeah.
And just stick to a footy, yeah?
Yeah, you get enough of that in work.
Just stick to a footy.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
News out this week then, so a bit of rugby news.
We've got a proper running order here. Like, we've got, Shanks has printed this out on his printer and it's got some black writing and some blue writing. Like, it's amazing. We've never had this before, have we?
No. It's, well...
A lot of spelling mistakes, but it's fine.
Trevor McDonald had to start somewhere, didn't he?
Didn't he? Yeah.
He did. But Nick Tompkins signed a 1-year loan deal at the Dragons. Reckons it was the most exciting option he had. You what?
What? Exciting? Was it the only option you had? It's great. It's good to see him. He's
yeah, it is good.
Over in Wales doing
it
the
is
job.
Good, but it's a year contract, and it's a bit like, well, you come for a year, do well for a year, then see you later. You know, you're not really leaving a legacy there. I can see why he's done it. You know, Saracen's moving down the league. He wants to obviously play for Wales regularly, which I think he will this year.
He will, yeah.
Hadley Park's moving to Japan. A spot has opened up there, and I think the combination with him and John Davis could really work.
You know? Yeah, it could be lush. Yeah. Imagine starting your international career and playing alongside John Davis for the first 10, 15 caps. That'd be lush. That was
Jamie Roberts and me, wasn't it? You know.
Yeah, exactly it.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan and don't know the other one.
Obi-2.
Rhys Carey's gone back to the Blues.
Yes.
Big fella. I likes him. I always found it a bit odd him going to... Sarries obviously were a great team, so he'd want to play for them. I always found it a bit odd him leaving Wales so young.
A little bit, but obviously he's going to a great club where he's probably going to learn quite a bit more, you'd imagine. He's going to a winning club, well, he was. You know, so I suppose if a team like Saracens come knocking, it's difficult to turn around. It's like saying Liverpool want to sign you, Man City want to sign you.
Yeah.
And you're at Burnley, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like when I was 20 years old and, you know, Breve came in for me when I was at Saracens with you, Tommy, and
Breve.
That's why I thought it was Breve. So I said yes. Breve came in and went hard with a big offer. And after they'd made the offer, they said, "Would you mind if you sent us some videos of him playing?" And they had never seen any videos. And
it's got in your name, are they?
This guy's the youngest prop ever to play for England. Let's get him. Offered me, no joke, they offered me
$100,000.
Hang on, I'm trying to get this right. 30 times my Saracen salary, 30 times as much. So from memory, I was on $5,000 at Sarries as an academy player. They offered me 150 bags. Which was a lot of money now, let alone then. And then they asked for some videos, and my agent was like, "Oh my God, they've offered you this contract and haven't even seen the videos." So he sent the videos of me playing for England, and they didn't call back. But apart from that, it's a pretty solid offer.
It's a shame, really, because that Argentina tour later on down the line, man of the series, were near enough.
Oh, man of the year. Unofficial. It was basically international rugby, man of steel is what...
Phil Christopher's under the post, said. Hair lip.
Yeah, it's what Mum said, was basically like...
Is that what you call him, hair lip from League of Gentlemen?
What did they call him? Yeah.
I think there's a character... Have you ever seen the League of Gentlemen?
Hair lip or hair flick or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might be hair flick. Have you seen the League of Gentlemen? There was a,
yeah, I've seen
a
it.
Character who was a German teacher.
That's what Mark Regan used to call him, hair flick, hair flick.
That's it.
And he once, Phil Christopher's a really good bloke, and he's German English, wasn't he? So he's but he's fluent in French as well, like very bright and really nice man. And he walked into we were basically on tour in Canada or somewhere like that, with England or England A or something, and we're all in someone's room. I think we're all in Will Green's room having a few beers and having a bit of fun. And everyone's getting a bit loose, and then your tunes are on, and Phil Christopher's walks in and he's like, guys, and he had his shaker with him, and he's like, does anyone have any protein powder? And it was like, ah, we were all on the beers, anyone have any protein powder? And it was like, get out.
Have you had this on making you talk?
He was great. I liked him.
Now, this is fairly big news
to
come out. Manu Tuilagi leaving Leicester. Now, Leicester publicised $5 million loss in earnings over this period from commercial revenue. Lots of cuts going on with staff, with players. Obviously, the biggest one, Manu Tuilagi leaving the club, wouldn't take a pay cut. I mean, the chances are he probably would have taken a pay cut, maybe not what they were offering. We don't know. Northampton, Saints, for instance, have all agreed to take a 10% pay cut across the board.
10 or 12 or something like that, yeah.
We don't know what the deal is or the situation is, but Manu is leaving, which will free up £10 million.
Yeah, exactly. Free up offer.
Carlisle gone, Vianu gone, Greg Bateman gone, and Noel Reid gone.
It's apart from being, fascinating, all that stuff, it's fascinating as well, because from what I understand, there is an unofficial kind of we're not going to scoop up any players from any other clubs agreement around the Premiership. So actually, if these lads, say up yours to one club, the other clubs, I think there will be a general unwritten rule. The other clubs won't just sign them. However, we'll speak to Lance Bradley in a bit from Gloucester. What if, Manu is a £450,000 a year player? What if suddenly Manu pops up? People are saying they can get him cut price, but he's been asked to take a pay cut. This is what we assume.
Yes.
So what's been reported so far at the time of us recording here is that he's been offered a pay cut and said no. So
what is that pay cut? Is it 20%? Is it 30%?
What's to say that he wouldn't accept less money from Tigers, but he would go to Gloucester or Bath or Sarries on, 100 grand less? We don't know. Why is he going to say yes to someone else?
The thing I found a little bit strange about this is Manu leaving Leicester's, because I just thought he has to stay there. Through all his injuries, Leicester have stuck by him. He's been injured for long periods of his time at Leicester. And I know rugby's short. I know it's, you take what you can get. It's a short career. It's especially the age he is now, you've got to be looking at how much you can make, I suppose, at the time you got left. But I just thought maybe he might be a little bit loyal. But then we don't know what pay cut.
We don't. And so it might, if it's probably easier for people to say, well, I think it was in the papers, it was something like 450 grand a year. Well, he's been asked to come down to 405 and take a 10%. That might not be what he's been offered. They might have said, we'll pay you 150, Jeeve, and you're knackered then because it's such a big cut. So we don't know. But also on the loyalty thing, I like the idea of loyalty, but I think to myself, nothing like Manu, but I had a long career at Bath and I got contracts when I was injured and that sort of stuff. And I used to get asked all the time, do you feel like you owe the club? Do you feel like you owe the club? And I say, mate, I got injured playing for the club. I got injured playing for the club injured because everyone else was injured. And if he gets injured with England cover wages and there's compensation, so it doesn't affect Tigers financially. But this, if he's getting injured playing for Tigers, I think, no, I've damaged my body. Yes, I'm getting paid, but actually, I'm not indebted to you. And I used to think to the club, I loved Bath when I was playing there, but I'm not doing you, you're not doing me a favour by giving me a contract. You're giving me a contract because when I'm fit, I do a good enough job for you. So,
I think it works both ways, really. I think loyalty is creeping out of the game. I think it's probably more so
it's gone
10, 15 years ago.
It's gone,
But, if a club sticks by you, because I think legally, it depends where you've got any contract, but legally, I think after maybe 4, 5, 6 months. You know, if you're injured and you haven't played for a club, they legally
six months usually, they
legally can terminate your contract. Now, it doesn't look good for the club if players are looking to sign players. You know, if there's history of players getting injured, long term injuries, and getting sacked. So, yeah, but yeah, we don't know what sort of pay cut they're offering him, but he's not going to struggle to find a club at all.
No, you'd imagine no he way. Wouldn't. Kyle no Eastman's way. A class player. Talisa Vianu, I mean, that is a yeah, they're all big names.
How good
names.
Was he at 15? You know, running the ball back, massive
big names. And
but it just shows you where rugby is, and you know they're the first to come out with this, with a lot of the redundancies of players leaving. Now I know in football, Wigan Athletic have gone into administration.
Yeah.
You know, that's a nightmare. They're also being docked points on top of that because they've gone into administration.
Yeah, brutal.
I don't know whether that will carry on, but I think this is going to be the start of a bit of a domino effect we're going to see, not just in rugby but in sport, and sort of less of led the way really in this. They've been open with everyone. So
what happens? You've got this. If you've got this blanket acceptance that everybody is going to have to take less money going forward, in terms of players, probably coaches too, but players going forward. So the players are seeing members of staff being made redundant around them and above them and beneath them. That kind of stuff. People are getting sacked. Lads, do you all agree you've got to take less money? If the lads all agree. And the proof is there to say, well, actually, it's reasonable that we accept this.
Yeah.
Fine. But then if you have some players saying, no, we don't accept it, clubs letting them go, and then another club scooping him up on top wedge, it undermines the whole concept. So it undermines all this change. It undermines all the redundancies clubs have made. So I think the clubs, we'll see now if the clubs kind of, although they compete against each other, and ultimately are enemies, we'll see if they stick together for what they would... outwardly call the good with the you know the for the what's the benefit of the league basically the benefit of the overall product. So
now Brad Barrett signed a 2-month contract extension.
Yeah, why not?
To stay with Saracens. What player he's been for him as well. He battered. Absolutely battered. You talk about tough players. Now look, he wasn't knocking people out in games, you know, he wasn't fighting people, but put legally his body through absolute hell.
I'd rather have Brad Barrett than someone who punches and kicks people. Yep. Like, what an asset. I mean, just his resume. Everyone knows Brad Barrett, but one of my great memories of Brad is one of his first games for Saracens, and we were playing against them at Watford, I think they were still, and I was playing for Bath, and we went through the team. One of our players, and I won't say his name because it's not fair, he goes, yeah, I know this guy. I've seen him play in South Africa. And he's like, boys, nothing to worry about. What we need, he was playing 12 that day. What we need to do is I want everyone running off 10, with many guys running off 10, inside and outside options off 10.
Yeah.
Come from behind them, come on short lines, come out to in from the 13 channel to 10, and just put everything on this guy because he's like a strong bloke, but there's not a lot else going on. Half time, we all went in and someone said exact words were, I won't say the name he said, F me, we don't swear on our podcast. Like, man, I thought you said he was shit. And he was like, and the guy who said it laughed. And he goes, yeah, looks like he's improved. And it was like, he was awesome. So it's like, right, everything has got to move away from the 12 channel because he's just battering everyone. He shut everything down, battered everyone, decked everyone. And you're like making dents in the midfield. He was getting the ball away. It wasn't like a LeBron James job, but it was just like, right, we need to avoid this guy. It was like playing against Man United in the old days and saying, right, let's target Roy Keane. Yeah. No, don't target him.
I told you the time we played against New Zealand out in Hamilton and Steve Hansen was the coach and said they got a new cap at 12, we'd target him. Like that. All day.
Yeah.
All day. I went through the team sheet. He's like Muli Aina, Rico Gear, Tanu Manga, number 12, Daniel Carter, like that. He's having it.
Yeah, he's getting it.
Even his name sounds rubbish. Went on to score like 20-odd points that day. 2 tries, kicked all his conversions, man of the match.
Yeah, beautiful. It's like when
he sort of used us as a stepping board.
Yeah, it's not the same level. But
had he not had a start like that or a first cap like that, he probably wouldn't have gone on to be the player that he was.
You created him. It's like when I played against Australia A on tour in 2010, and they had this, as was described by one of our coaches, as a chopsy little midget playing at fullback. Get into him because they're talking about him, but he's tiny. And it was James O'Connor, and he scored a hat trick and got taken off at half time. And a couple of the boys got hold of him as well, and he was so powerful they couldn't stop him. He was honestly like, one of the boys after the game said, again, there's a swear word, I won't use, he's like Jonah. only small. Like, you couldn't stop him. He was so powerful.
Got clapped off at half time.
Yeah, exactly it. Well done. Skivington.
Yes. Now, we're going to have to fly through this. We'll chat to Lance Bradley about this, but big sort of news this week. He's been poached from London Irish to Gloucester.
Gorgeous George.
Yeah.
See the picture Gloucester put of him walking along King's Home. He looks beautiful.
Does he?
Oh, he looks amazing, mate. Yeah, he looks great.
Now, we've been watching a little bit of Super Rugby.
Yeah.
Super Rugby.
Oratoro.
I knew you'd know it. It's been great.
I loved it. Yeah, it's been brilliant.
And it makes such a difference. Like, I've been watching the Premiership football. The crowd there, stadiums are empty. There's just atmosphere when you watch this in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. The crowds are there. It's full. But this guy, Caleb Clark, has been absolutely dominating. The Auckland Blues are 3-3 so far, beating Hurricanes, Chiefs, Highlanders. He's on the wing. You've got Rico Ioane, who was a winger and now playing at 13.
Yeah, it's like Shontaine Harpe feeding Les Vinicolo down the left for Bradford Bulls for all those years. Like, it's like Ioane's like running the show at 13, like Key Senior did for Leeds. It's just, you watch it and you're like, these are some of the best players in the world, and they can't do anything about these two.
But Rico Ioane, when he first came on the scene, I think it was sort of the Lions series where we first sort of saw how good he is, and he looked massive there. But Caleb Clark makes him look like a little boy.
But it's just, he's just got this nightmare physique to try and deal with. A bit like Joshua Tuisova, and you're like, well, if he's got room and he's at pace and he's stepping into me, what am I going to do? But what Caleb Clark's got is more than just, you know, he's got a lot of power and he's got a great physique, but actually his footwork, his agility.
Well, for those that are viewing this, we've got a little video.
And he's clever, like, he's a clever player.
His hands as well, and I think, you know, a lot of people say, you know, how does the sevens bring players through? It brings them through because it brings them through their footwork, their contact area as well. Think how many contacts there are in sevens.
Yeah.
You know, how many times you've got to go into a contact and jack for the ball and counter ruck.
More than a union winger.
Way more. Yeah. But it's agility, it's stepping. It's phenomenal. And for a bloke that big as well to be so fast and so agile, you know, the equivalent we've got in Wales would be George North.
Yeah.
You know, that big. But it's just powerful. He's got everything. You know, it's not like he's a winger that would just finish off tries. He'll create them. His hands are brilliant. I love this one.
I mean, Rico Ioane, so for those of you that aren't watching and listening, we're watching some, you know, some Blues highlights. Rico Ioane and Caleb Clark just tearing up, but he's brave too. He's jackaling and turning ball over here in what we're watching. And what I like the best thing about him is his finishing and his pace and his footwork. But actually, I like where he pops up and where he causes trouble, because that's clever. It's keenness to work, hunger to work, and it's clever because he knows that he's not so much of a threat if he just sits out there. I think he's intelligent, and I really like that.
Well, he's good as well. Like, you want to use wingers as much as you can, but also he can do some of the hard yards as well. You know, you can run off your 10. He can get you over the game off the top of the line-out, or you can put him in a bit of space, and he can still do just as much damage.
Useful. Like, watch him play 20
Who's
as
been
well.
Impressing you, number 8 for the Blues?
I like Hoskins Tutu. I really like. We really, really like him. I also like Mikaeli Tu'u, who doesn't seem to get the headlines that Hoskins Tutu gets. There's now chat that Eddie Jones is chasing Tutu with good reason. And he's a hell of a player. Hell of a player, wonderful player. But what I like about him is that England have an established number 8, and they've got some great number 8s in England. But Billy Vunipola is
Eddie Jones is knocking.
Eddie Jones is knocking, but he's got a very similar... He's got almost nothing in common with Billy Vunipola as a player. They're very different, and I like the option. I like having that option. I still think someone like, you know, Zach Mercer could do a lot of damage at 8 for England, but why not have another option like him if you can?
His pass off the left for Talia try.
The missed pass.
The Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah, outrageous.
Beautiful.
Absolutely outrageous. He's a wonderful player and one of many, frankly. Again, Mikaeli Tu'u, I thought was great. When they played against each other, I thought, well, everyone's talking about Hoskins Tutu, and I think they're right.
It's going to be like a Nathan Hughes situation. Do I go Fiji for £50 a game? That's only if you win.
As someone said on Twitter, Eddie, just tell him about the 25 bags a game you get for England. It's like, see ya.
There we are. See you later.
Short old career, boy.
Now, it's about time we gave Ellis Jenkins a call. So
yeah, it is.
Let's see if we can get him up on the screen, shall we?
Sit him up,
Well, it's about time we give Heartthrob of Cardiff, Wales, Silverhead Fox. He's dyed his hair, especially for this cool flat. Ellis Jenkins. Ellis, can you hear us, mate?
Hey Tom, how's it going?
I've got Flats as well with me as well.
Ellis, you and I don't know each other, but
guy, how are you?
I was a hell of a player, but apart from that, yeah, very good. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad.
Love what you've done with your hair, mate. I know you've grown it out a little bit, but I hear and I read that you're back fit, you're back training, you're ready for rugby. Is that true? Yeah. I hear wrong. It was an article, wasn't it, last week? But how's lockdown going? How's training going? How's your injury?
Yeah, it's all right. Obviously, we've sort of finished training middle of March when everyone else locked down. So just been managed to get some gym equipment in the house. So just been trying to tick along and improve as much as I can. But it's nice that last week or so I've been back in with a physio and some proper equipment doing some stuff. So hopefully progress a bit quicker now we're back in.
I keep wondering, Ellis, about you pros who aren't, because of social distancing. So if you're training on your own, that's boring and it's not as good and it's probably never going to quite be as good as training the rest of the team and the coaches. But if you're injured, what do you do if you can't have physical contact with people, physios and doctors? Because does it mean your injury gets better at kind of a slower rate? I guess it's the same for all injured players, but how do you manage that?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. Obviously, you've got a program to follow, but without the, sometimes you need certain equipment and also the hands-on treatment and the sort of expertise of the physios as well to sort of watch over you while you're doing it. So it's been, it's obviously not ideal, but like I said, I've just been trying to do as much as I can. Managed to get a couple of dumbbells off Robin Soudan Taylor to keep ticking over in the house and been doing what I can, really.
He's the dealer, is he? Soudan Taylor's the dealer.
Mate, sell him on the black market. Now, you're obviously an athlete, right? Is it a bit soul-destroying that your missus is training harder than you?
Yeah. Doing way better nick than me at the moment as well. She signed up for the 1,000 miles in May for Velindra. She came in beaming, telling me that she's doing 1,000 miles, which is 1,600 kilometres, and that's 10 kilometres a day for 16 days.
Yeah.
So the more quickly disappeared.
She's a good influence on you, though, as well. She's. I mean, is it her influence of why you've learned to play the guitar and why you're singing songs together online? I mean, a bit like Ben Foden and Uta Healey.
I've had the guitar for years and just never, it's just been sitting in the, sort of in the corner, never really touching it. So we both decided to go and have guitar lessons in like November, I think it was. It's something nice to sort of do together.
Yeah.
But she refused to cut her nails. So she'd go and just couldn't play it because the nails were too long. And after sort of two or three, getting frustrated that she wasn't Jimi Hendrix yet, she packed it in. And obviously I've had so much time off now. I've been sort of managed to keep it going and just trying to fit my fat fingers in the frets is the tough part.
What I'm worried about, Ellis, is that, as Shanks mentioned, Ben Foden with his ex-wife, Una Healey, from the Saturdays, he did a couple of videos that went onto social media or YouTube or whatever of him singing. And she was a brilliant singer. Ben Foden, nowhere near as good as a singer as he thinks he is. But he had like his eyes closed and stuff. So he was like a proper face stroker, like he really meant it. And when I watched it, I was sitting in the passenger seat of a car and I vomited all over myself. Are you confident? Are you confident? It was one of the most awful things I've ever seen. Are you confident that, when you start performing with your missus, it's going to be actually high quality and it's not going to make people's eyeballs fall out?
I'm very confident that that's not going to happen.
He's trending on social media. They sang A Star Is Born, Shallows, I think.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
God.
Little hidden talent. You've got like a repertoire of songs now you're going to sing for the boys on like the back of the bus for away games. Like, Ellis will cheer us up now after that loss. Go on, Ellis, go get the guitar.
Yeah, David Brent.
Yeah.
I've got sort of 30 seconds of a couple of different songs that I can play.
That's all you need, mate. As long as you can start, the boys can join in.
It's just you need Wonderwall.
Yeah, not good enough at the moment.
You need Wonderwall, and you need a little bit of Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Put your guitar down. That's all you need. They're the only two you need. We just had, we're at Bath, we had Nicky Little, and Nicky Little knew about three songs, about 20 seconds of each. I'm sure that's all he knew, but he was never without that guitar, mate. It's a good bit of kit.
Funnily enough, American Pie is one I started trying to learn yesterday.
There you go. There you go. It's out there.
Yeah, the chorus is quite easy, but the verses at the moment are beyond my capabilities. So
how's Zoom calling, mate, on Friday nights, quizzes and dressing up as like your missus and stuff? Still going well?
The Zoom call stopped a while ago, but thankfully the dressing up is still going strong.
That's how it starts, mate. Start doing your nails and you wear a dress and you think, oh, I quite like this.
Yeah, so I don't mind. I don't mind a bit of that, Ellis, actually. So I had a pedicure this week. I've got, you know, silly trainers on. I don't mind. I'll get my nail varnish done this afternoon by my kids. I think it's all right. You just embrace it. Shanks is old school.
Yeah, we had to dress up as each other, and I couldn't fit into any of her dresses or jeans or shorts. So the only thing I had was don't ask me why, but I had a gold thong in my pants drawer, and I managed to fit into one of her tops, and that's what screwed her extensions into my hair, and that was
giving it away now, haven't you?
That's how I do it.
Are you keeping in contact with? You're keeping in contact, obviously, with the strength and conditioning coaches. They're keeping a monitor on your fitness and everything. What about the actual coaches like Mulvers and Richie Reese and other coaches at the Blues in terms of when rugby's likely to get back and, you know, when sort of training is likely to increase?
So we're starting back in tomorrow. The fit squad are starting back in tomorrow. Long-term injured a little bit sort of on a different program. But they've got a Bronco test tomorrow morning, which they're all really happy about.
What's a Bronco test? Because people won't know that.
So Bronco test is you start on the try line, you go out 20 metres back, out 40 metres back, out 60 metres back, and you do that five times on the bounce.
Yeah.
It's only 1,200 metres total run in. So it's not silly distance, but it's 30 turns, I think, or 29 turns maybe.
Okay, yeah.
So that's, I guess you. So
do you have to do down-ups as well, or you just get to the line and go?
No, luckily no down-ups in this one, but I think Bowden Barrett went viral the other day. He had 3 months off and came back and set a PB with a silly time. So I think he was
disgusting.
Like 4 minutes.
I was going to ask about
Pathetic.
Bowden Barrett has like set the standard, as he so often does.
Big fan of the show as well.
Big fan of the show. He's all over us to come on, but we don't want to. But he's charging too much. But do you think more lads are going to turn up in insane nick, or more lads are going to turn up fat and wheezy?
I think there'll be a big divide. I think some boys will be training harder in the last 3 months than they've ever trained before, and they'll come back in test match condition, and then the props maybe not so much. They've made the most of not having to train every day and being able to eat whatever they want, and I think some of them might be in for a bit of a rude awakening tomorrow.
What I'd say to you is, Ellis, that is a massive generalisation, but I think you're very likely accurate. Because they were pretty much all the same.
The parents will feed us. That's why they're props. That's what I think. Anyway, have you given yourself a date really in which you want to get back, or is it still just when your body's ready, when you're ready, you're back in?
Yeah, it's just trying to not get ahead of myself. A few times I've sort of put in dates that I'm really aiming at, and you almost try and push it a little bit too much sometimes to make those dates then. So I'm, like I said, I've been back in for nearly 2 weeks now with the physios, just doing some rehab stuff. I'm hoping to start running end of July. So like I said, you know what it's like, Shanks, when you're coming back from injury like this, there's different setbacks, and you start running, feel really good, swells up and gets really sore. So that's where I've been sort of previously. So we're just trying to get, use this time wisely to get to a place where I can train and keep progressing without the setbacks.
Flats and I are going to do a rowing session in a minute. We're going to have a competition, right? I want to go a little bit longer, but he's narrowed it down to 30 seconds, right? Yeah. We've got to do a 30-second sprint each on the rower. Who do you reckon is going to come out on top? Bearing in mind now, it's 30 seconds.
Ooh. And Shanks got concept two in his back garden.
He's a big bloke. He was just saying he's been doing a bit of rehab on the bench the other day, doing like 150 kg for like reps of five, just going through a bit of rehab. So he's a unit.
Do much training, Flats?
I don't do as much endurance as I used to do, in that I used to do some and now I do none. I lift a bit. I haven't been on a rower in 8 years since I retired. Shank's got a concept two in his back garden, so no surprise he suggested a rowing competition. So
it's not my back garden.
I said let's do bench or squats or deads.
My home gym.
His knee hurts, but we can row. So I don't know. I'm expecting to come second out of two, but no, I think I could be in trouble here, mate, basically.
Yeah, I've seen when I first joined at the Blues, I think Shanks was on a couple of the boards for the strongest and fitness. So I think
went for cardio.
I have to put my money in with, Shanks.
I did it. You know, we hear a lot about how the modern day players are so much bigger and stronger than we were and all that. And I played at Bath for a long time, and I found out last year that one of the Bath players had set a new club record on the bench press. And it's the same record I set in about 2007, 2006. So I'm not having it, mate. I'm absolutely not having it. I think we were in much better nick in our day, weren't we?
Just official. It was more official, wasn't it? It was
videoed. Videoed it. Yeah.
Exactly. All right, mate. Well, take care. Keep enjoying the food. Keep enjoying the takeaways. How's the Tom Simmons dinners going, all right?
Really good, mate. Actually, I've ordered another one for me and Sophie for Sunday and one for my parents as well. So... it was fantastic. Actually, I'd highly recommend it if you're
in the area,
that sort of thing.
All right, go on you. Cheers, then, Ellis.
Nice one, thanks, Ellis.
Turn up.
You both.
I love you.
Love you too.
Lance, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
Excellent. How good. Apologies for being a little bit late. It's we had a Welsh fella on, and they're not very good with computers, is the reality of it.
Flats needed lunch, basically.
I need a sandwich, basically. Yeah, I still need a sandwich.
No problem at all. I've just been helping myself to another gin and tonic, so cheers.
Oh, well done. That's what I like to see. We appreciate you coming on, Lance. I understand there's a huge amount going on.
No, it's my pleasure.
At every Premiership club at the moment. In fact, every business in the world probably at the moment, but especially in our little world, there's a lot going on. I'm joined by Shanks here, the man who played 70 times for Wales and says he never lost at King's Home. Maybe true, maybe not, but I think he's just banking on no one being bothered to Google it. But especially at Gloucester, we'll try and... there's a million questions we could ask, but I think we'll try and do it in some sort of chronological order and wind it back a bit and ask you, as CEO, you arrived relatively soon before COVID-19 or coronavirus, whatever we're supposed to call it, hit. So what are the sort of your primary concerns in managing a Premiership rugby club when this kicks off and it all goes crazy?
it was an interesting time because I felt that there was a few things that needed doing at the club in any case. And then when COVID all kicked off and it was a really quite unprecedented situation, we certainly had no certainty at all about what the income was going to be and salary bills of £1 million a month to handle. And yeah, it was quite a challenge. But the key in anything like this is to work out a plan as quickly as you can, act as quickly and decisively as you can, make sure that everybody's on board with what you're doing. So one of the very first things we did was got the senior playing group together and talked them through what the financial situation was, what the implications of that were, and talk to them about what we needed to do about it. And getting them bought in like that, I think, made a huge difference.
There's an argument often that, you know, from a player's point of view, that management teams just make decisions and tell you what's going on, and actually, you know, they sort of ask you to be men on the field at the weekend, but don't treat you like men when there's big decisions to be made commercially. So, you know, were you always going to have senior players involved and have players clued in? Was there anyone saying, actually, you know, leave them out of it, they'll do as they're told?
Well, to be honest, yes, there was. But you know, I've been, you know, I'm relatively new to Gloucester Rugby, but I've been managing organisations for quite a long time, and I've always found it best to bring people with you. A lot of our players, a lot of rugby players in general, are intelligent guys running their own businesses, doing degree courses, whatever. No reason at all why you shouldn't include them in what you're doing. It's, you know, you never know. Sometimes they have a really good idea, and you won't get that if you don't adopt a collaborative approach. And that doesn't mean giving players a vote. That's not the same thing. It's just having the respect to involve them in decision making, and then you tend to get better decisions, and people feel more bought into them, and that's what we've been doing.
So, who would be the decision makers for the appointment of George Skivington as head coach?
Well, that was absolutely myself and Alex Brown did all of the interviewing. And then we presented our shortlist to the board and discussed it with them. And when we got down to the final two, what we'd said to the senior playing group early in the process was, what sort of coach? I don't want names, but what sort of coach do you think you want? And what attributes would you look for? And unanimously, they said, we need somebody with Premiership experience, because you need to understand just how hard the Premiership is, how you're playing similar quality teams week in, week out, and that it's a real long, hard squad. They need to understand that it sometimes rains in England, and that, you know, a fast running game is great, but sometimes you need to dig in and you know, play it a bit safer. So we took all of that on board, and we had our own ideas too. When we got down to the last two, we went back to the senior playing group, as we said, and said, look, these are the two candidates. What do you think? They were both extremely strong candidates, and the group were quite taken aback by the first candidate that we mentioned. Yeah. But when we mentioned George, they were unanimous that he was their choice.
I can just imagine George and Brownie, Alex Brown, sort of in a version of an interview that starts off quite constructive and ends up talking about line-out defence triggers and mauls. Because Brownie, as you might know, is a good old mate of mine. And I always regarded him as like, yeah, Steve Borthwick with fewer caps but a much better tan and social life. So I can imagine that getting quite nauseous. And I know George Skivington pretty well. And I think that's a lovely idea. I love it. And the picture that you guys put on Twitter of him striding across King's Home, he just looked gorgeous. And I think, well, if you look that good, it's half the battle. Were you sort of inundated with names? Because, you know, in the international game, certainly up until a couple of years ago, it was always the same names getting bandied about. Were you sort of inundated with applications? Were there some of, we're not asking for the names, but were there some quite predictable sort of big name coaches that wanted that gig? And were you not tempted by that?
There were some big name coaches, yes. But you know, we... You know, the definition of madness is to keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. And, you know, we've had a couple of big name coaches, both from the Southern Hemisphere, and we haven't really got the results that we wanted. So we did talk to some big name coaches, and, you know, that was really interesting. But when George came in and said, look, you know, I don't want to throw any stones here, but I've had a look at your performances during this season. This is what I think the problems are. And it was actually quite embarrassing that he hit the nail on the head so succinctly. Mm. It was his thoughts on what we'd been doing and how we would fix them. And they're mostly not hugely complicated fixes, were really quite inspirational. And you know, that in the end, with his experience of the Premiership, albeit he doesn't have experience of being a head coach. That's why we went for him. But, you know, throughout my career, I've never been particularly bothered about people having got experience of that particular job, because you never do until you get it. So as long as you've got the potential, that's what we were looking for.
And is this sort of the same model as a lot of the sort of top teams are doing, and as you did previously with a director of rugby above George?
It's not particularly. So George is completely in charge of the rugby side of things. There are some things that we don't need him to get involved in. We don't need to get him to get involved in recruitment. Don't need to get him involved in contract renewals, although it will be him who says, I like this guy, can you get him a new contract? I like that guy. Or we need somebody else in this position. And he'll sit down with Brownie and talk about, you know, who might be available. And then Brownie will go and get him. And then my job really is to spoil their fun by bringing the budgets into the equation.
So it's basically George does the rugby stuff and Brownie does the admin, which he loves, because he's actually, apart from being very tanned and beautifully dressed, he is a Norse and loves admin, doesn't he? So he's probably quite happy with that.
He does love admin. He's very happy with that. And actually, I'll tell you a story about the interview. So George came in and presented this, and he'd done a load of analysis of all of our games so far this season. And he's picking out, you know, look at that player. He's pushing, but his legs are straight, and loads of detail in it. And this is what I do, and I want to do this with the academy. I want to do that with the academy. And at the end of it, when George left, I said, you know, that's really quite good, Alex, isn't it? And he said, I didn't really like the way that he'd formatted his PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
It was all centrally set, and it should really have been off to the left. And I said to him, mate, you know, I know you're a perfectionist, but...
That is so Brownie. That sums him up, absolutely sums him up.
That was the biggest fault we could find.
Yeah, biggest fault. If we rewind a bit to Johan Ackerman leaving the club and then subsequently David Humphreys leaving the club, if you are a Gloucester supporter, or actually probably more pertinently, if you're kind of outside of the Gloucester bubble where you're sort of, can you be truly objective? Probably not. It's as things were going along quite nicely at Gloucester pre-COVID, and yes, there were some inconsistencies, but Johan Ackerman was regarded on the outside as, apart from being sort of maniacally happy in every interview and having crazy eyes and being very big, it was regarded as a nice environment, a nice culture. So you always know more on the inside than we know more on the outside. I'm not asking for reasons why they left or anything like that, because those things are private and they should remain so. But as CEO, did you understand that people saw this as a bad news story? For Gloucester, you know, this can't be good news, because these guys are really good, proven operators, and now they're not there anymore. Did you understand why, but did you disagree with that? Did you see it actually as a good news story?
Well, it's never a good news story when somebody leaves. And you know, as you say, Johan was a good guy, and David was a good guy. And you know, I've spoken to both of them since they've left and had perfectly reasonable conversations with them. It certainly wasn't a good news thing. The problem was, you know, you say that everything looked fine, but the fact is we were ninth and we'd won four league games all season. And we were losing games, and we were losing games in the same way and running from our own 22 all the time, and the pack wasn't performing and the line-out wasn't performing. And you can look at some... It isn't my job to interfere in the rugby side, but you can look at some fairly telling stats. You know, our kicking percentage was 60-something percent, and it needs to be 80-something percent. You know, these are not complicated pieces of analysis. And then as CEO, when I first started and went around and met everybody, and, you know, as you would do in any organisation, chat to people, and these were quite, you know, everybody knew that these meetings were happening. It was really clear that there were things not working as they should. And that, I don't mean, you know, details of the coaching methodology or anything else. It was clear that the organisation wasn't as harmonious as it should have been. And so while it's not my job to interfere in the rugby side, it is my job to make sure that the organisation is working as well as it can. And that's what I started to do. So you know, it's actually, I knew that some of the decisions wouldn't be popular, but my job isn't to be popular. My job is to make sure that we win things, and that's what we're trying to do.
There's obviously going to be a reduction in the wage bill now from 7 to 5 million. Leicester have come out recently and talked about how much money they've lost commercially, players leaving. Are we going to see this, do you think, across the board now with rugby clubs? Maybe not just rugby clubs, just sports, sort of teams in general.
I actually don't think it'll just be sports teams. I think all organisations are going to have to make cuts and to cut their cloth according to what they're able to afford post-COVID. You know, we're having discussions with our players and other staff about what we are going to need to do. We've had to make some redundancies. The losses that Leicester talked about, I don't think are dissimilar, certainly not to what we've suffered.
Yeah.
You have to make sure that you've got a club to go forward with, and that's what we've been doing, and I'm sure that's what other clubs have been doing.
When we talk about Leicester, the big news is that Manu has been stood down, and Kyle Eastman and Tolu Sivanu have, reportedly not accepted the wage cuts they were offered. Now, is there an official or an unofficial kind of agreement across the Gallagher Premiership whereby other clubs sort of agree with one another, a sort of a gentle fellows agreement, whatever it is, not to scoop up other teams' players? Or is it actually the case that Manu is now on the market and maybe Leicester offered him a massive pay cut and maybe someone else can get him for less than they thought they would have done or less than his market value was 6 months ago? Are these guys now fair game, or do you expect to see them land in France or Japan because no one else in the Prem will touch them?
Well, it's hard to say, and I certainly wouldn't want to talk about specifics. You know, as far as we're concerned, we've lost three players to Japan because we'd reduced their salaries. So, sorry, I'm getting a load of feedback now.
Hang on, we'll try and sort that out. I say we, someone else. Adam will try and sort that out.
I'm getting everything I say repeated in my headphones.
Everything he says in his ear.
Has that been happening throughout? Has it been building?
Has it happened all the way through, or has it just come now?
No, it's just started.
Just started.
Oh. Have you still got it? Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. It's about a second delay.
Yeah.
Enough to put you off, knock you off your stride.
Ooh. That may have stopped now.
It's stopped now. Okay, plow on and see how we go. Do you remember where we were?
Sure.
Where were we?
You were losing asking players about whether to Japan. We were going to scoop up.
Losing players to Japan, yeah.
So we've lost three players to Japan because we technically had breached their contracts by... although we asked them if we could take if they would take a salary cut, you know, technically it was a breach of contract, and three of them were able to find positions in Japan, and you know you understand that it's a short career and you have to make the most of it. So we wished them well, and away they went. So we're not specifically looking at players that might be available from another Premiership club, but. You know, if somebody doesn't have a valid contract, I'm sure they'll be looking for work somewhere.
Skipping back to the George Skivington thing, the appointment there, of course, there was this sort of rather public, and I've got to say, you know, it's interesting for all of us that aren't involved at London Irish or Gloucester respectively, but there was a couple of statements issued. What's the current state of play with George? I see he's got his Gloucester kit, he's at King's Home in his smart shoes. So he's in there and he's being a nose at his laptop. So I'm guessing he's fully in there at Gloucester now. But what is the situation with London Irish? Is that all but resolved, or is that an ongoing worry?
I can't really talk about that. We've been having some discussions with them, and I hope those discussions are ongoing. But I'm sorry, but I can't really talk about
it. No, of course, absolutely fine. And lastly, Lance, we're very grateful for you coming on. The narrative around sort of COVID and Premiership rugby, well, not just Premiership rugby, but in this instance, Premiership rugby has been almost entirely negative, frankly. I mean, there's not very many positives come out of this. People talk about like work-life balance resets and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't really help a Prem rugby club. So rugby comes back in August. We hope and pray, and there's rugby behind closed doors. There's still no ticket money, but at least your TV money comes in, and it kind of works, and we finish the season. But overall, as CEO of one of the big guns, as Gloucester Rugby, do you feel there's still a lot of trepidation, there's still a huge amount to negotiate, or overall, do you feel kind of in new ways excited about the future of the league and of the future of your club?
Yeah, I feel very excited about it. And I actually said to everybody, we had a meeting with all of our staff and players and everybody before we went into the lockdown. And I said, look, it's not going to feel like it now, but we are going to come out of this stronger. Mm. And that is the case. You know, we've got a team of people at the club now who are there because they want to be there, because they see what the future of Gloucester Rugby is likely to be. You know, we need to get back to people not wanting to come and play us, you know, and we haven't had that for a little while. But there's a real strong feeling with George in place and some of the other changes that we've made that, you know, we've got a group together now that's determined to be challenging for trophies. And I'm, you know, the players are so excited to be back in training. You know, just that's a big step forward. You know, the thought of playing again, and then we've got some of our other staff starting to come back. So there's actually a great atmosphere in the club, and, you know, I hope the fans start to feel that too soon.
That's good stuff. And we're, Shanks and I are both very, very young, fit men, of course, Lance, but, you know, we're old enough to have played at King's Home against the likes of, you know, Andy Deacon, Chris Forty, Olivier Azam, Rob Fiddler, Terry Fanalua, Andy Hazel. We know what it's like to play at Gloucester when it's horrible to play at Gloucester. So as rugby fans, I'm sure Shanks agrees with me, we both hope those days return, and there's a good chance of that under Gorgeous George. So thanks for coming on. Good luck
with
Gloucester. Good luck post-COVID. Good luck with George.
Thank you.
And make sure your PowerPoints are correctly formatted, because Brownie just can't cope otherwise. Thanks,
that's
Lance.
Great. Thanks, Lance.
Cheers, mate. Ta-ra.
Cool. Thank you.
Right, boy, I think it's time to speak to a very interesting guest. Lance Bradley, CEO of Gloucester Ruggers. A lot going on down there. Let's get Lance's view on things.
That's the first CEO we've had on the show.
Yeah.
Of a rugby club.
Enjoyed that. I think it's fine if there's, I mean, the odd
you're
thing...
You're a CEO of the Flatman House, aren't you?
Yeah, it's true. If there's certain things you just say, I can't talk about it, that's absolutely fine. But I much prefer actually just asking straight questions, getting an answer, and not sort of dodging about with he said, she said, really.
Yeah, well, Gloucester, this is a statement that was on the BBC, that Gloucester understood that Skivington was not restricted contractually from joining the club. You know, he's obviously wanted to join the club. He's gone for an interview. He's gone through an interview process.
Yeah.
That's a legal battle between London Irish and Gloucester, because it's the same with players, isn't it? You've got to be careful how you approach players. You can only approach them at a certain time.
Yeah.
I think it's after December.
Yeah, it's after the 1st of January, isn't it?
Yeah.
But as far as I'm aware, I think that hasn't always been stuck to.
No.
As a rule.
Not at all, mate.
There's not a lot anyone can do about that, actually.
And anyway, we'll see who's right and wrong anyway, as time goes on in the press, won't we?
Yeah, I'm going to put my imaginary €12 on Gorgeous George being at King's Home for the next couple of years.
No, I'm going to put it on there as well, but I'm going to put it on and say that it was legally done, and I just think he's such a huge loss to London Irish that they're a little bit...
Good. Didn't even hear his name in the running. It was a
little
surprise
bit bitter
call,
about it. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe we should get Brian Facer on from London Irish.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Challenge time, isn't it?
Yeah.
30 seconds, mate. 30 seconds. That's easy. Hold your breath for 30 seconds. Cook an omelette in 30 seconds.
I can barely hold my breath for 30 seconds. Look at me. I haven't even taken my asthma puffer. Well, it's in the car. Can I do it? No, I won't. I won't even do my asthma puffer.
I'm going to put a heart rate monitor on you as well, mate. So
see how high it goes.
We're going to check you. Constant checking you, mate. We'll take your blood pressure.
My heart rate will be higher after 15 seconds after I finish than when I finish, I reckon. I think it'll just keep climbing.
15 minutes, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm going to battle it.
Okay,
battle hard. Right, let's have a go. That is really good. That is absolutely mega. You are a freak. Oh, Christ. I was hanging.
Not even sweating, mate. Not even sweating.
I don't sweat.
Good that, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't good.
You didn't enjoy it at all?
No.
You don't want to get one in the house?
No. I mean, I would. I just wouldn't do that
on it.
It's
brilliant, mate. It comes apart in two. You could stack it up. You could put your washer on it. You put your towels on it. It's perfect.
I would have the rowing machine. I just wouldn't do that on it. I'd do easier stuff. Longer, slower stuff is what I would do.
You prefer the ski erg, don't you?
I prefer...
Takes you back to school days.
I prefer the fridge, if I'm honest with you. But if you want to see who won, because it was a competition...
It was.
Have a look on YouTube.
We'll put the link on our Twitter page, on our social media handles.
Did enjoy that.
And you can see.
What didn't help was that I've got trainers on, but my feet have got, as I said, a moisture treatment on them to make them nice and soft for holidays.
Mm.
And they're sliding around in there. I didn't get a lot of purchase. Anyway.
That wraps up this special podcast that you either listen to or view. And hopefully you're viewing, because there might be more to come. Put a little bit of artificial grass down for you as well, mate.
Yeah, that's all you need, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you again to Gennaro. Thank you to you.
Yeah.
David Flatman.
And don't forget your little Field and Flower boxes, or big Field and Flower boxes. Flatman 10, nice grub. It's literally what... If you eat that barbecue box, you too could look like me.
Or okay. me.
Okay, you probably need a few barbecue boxes for that. But keep going, and happy summer to you all.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.